The MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech. Hello and welcome to this special episode of the MadTech Podcast, where we dive deep into a pressing topic that's impacting the digital marketing landscape. My name is Lindsay Rowntree. I'm CEO of ExchangeWire. And today the topic is curation. And I want to know, if curation is the answer, then what's the question? What's it for? What industry challenges can it help to mitigate? And how can it make the lives of brands, publishers, agencies, DSPs, and everyone else in between easier? I want to find out exactly what curation is, both from a business and technical perspective, and why it'll be such an important area in 2024. Joining me to get into the nitty-gritty are Greg Williams and Matt Griffiths from Audigent, quite possibly the masters in this space, and they will be sharing their insights and opinions on the evolving importance of curation across the supply chain, what the path looks like to it becoming more freely adopted, and the role that Audigent plays in that, and what we can expect to see from curation in 2024. And if you haven't already been avidly reading it, please do check out the Curation Content Hub on ExchangeWire.com, which is in association with Audigent. It's a series of articles, sketches, and videos providing a really good deep dive into all things curation, and something we obviously intend to expand upon today. Now, enough of me blithering on. It's time for my guests to introduce themselves. Matt, I will start with you, please.
Thank you, Lindsay. So, Matt Griffiths, and I'm the co-founder and CTO at Audigent. So as the CTO, I sit across all of our technical development, all of our technical integrations, and the implementation of new products, including all of our curation technology. So very excited to be here today to talk about the power of curation.
Brilliant. And Greg.
Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you for having us. Really excited to be here with you today. I'm Greg Williams, president here at Audigent, and I look after our marketing, our account services, our strategic accounts, and all of our curated trading operation.
Well, we're very excited to have you here and talk about a topic that everyone's talking about. And I'm really excited to hear kind of about what we're looking at curation to look like in the next 12 to 18 months. So I'm going to start with a big, hard-hitting, broad question. What on earth is curation? Who's going to hit me with an answer for this one?
I'll take that first, Lindsay.
Go, Greg.
In the way that Audigent defines it, it is, put simply, it is adding ingredients, adding signal into the supply chain in order to create a media package that can be utilized to drive better performance, more scale, and ultimately becomes far more privacy centric in this new world of what is about to become in 2024.
Interesting. And so, Matt, from a technical perspective, you know, when I ask you what curation is, kind of, you know, you co-founded and you're the CTO of Audigent, where does curation sit? Like my upfront question was, can you, if curation is the question, then what's the answer? Why has curation come about, and what's its kind of background, and what's its journey to where it is today?
Yeah, great question. And I think the question to which curation is the answer is kind of twofold. I think one of it is around data privacy. There's been lots of changes in data privacy rules within advertising technology over the last 4 or 5 years. And I think especially the role of data companies and the provision of data into the ad tech ecosystem is something that data privacy touches on. And I think curation is part of the answer there. I also think it's to do with the commoditization of data as well, and how media buyers are looking for performant media packages that really speak to their KPIs and that can deliver on the campaign goals that they're looking to hit for their advertisers. And I think you could argue that before curation, the kind of data marketplace style of buying third-party data wasn't really fulfilling that goal. I think the data marketplaces before curation were full of kind of very large, very generic data segments. And media buyers were looking for, perhaps we didn't know it was going to be called curation, but they were looking for a different way of being able to buy data that could be tuned, that could be optimized, and that could deliver back the KPIs that they want to show to their advertisers. And then just to touch on the point that Greg made about data privacy, it is sadly true that much of the data buying ecosystem is based on third-party cookies. And third-party cookies have been a big target of data privacy regulations, or I should say, they've been a big target of the way that tech companies have decided to deal with data privacy regulations. And the truth is that media buyers have seen the efficacy of buying data shrink. First of all, when iOS was taken away, then when Safari traffic was taken away, and then next year when Chrome traffic is taken away. And so again, media buyers are looking for a solution that not only answers the performance question, but also a solution that they know is going to be able to deliver for advertisers in 2023, 24, 25 and onwards. And so my take is that curation is the answer to those questions.
And are, as well as those questions, is a question for both of you, Matt and Greg. Yeah. You know, from a brand perspective, from an agency perspective, from a DSP perspective, from a publisher perspective, do they all get curation? Do they all understand what it is? Are they coming to the likes of Audient and saying, right, we want curation? Or are they going, we've got this issue, we've got no idea how to solve it, and then you can come in, you know, knights in shining armor and say, well, actually, this is a really interesting opportunity for you to try and mitigate some of these issues. Is it that they are coming up with challenges and this is a solution, or that they're saying, right, we want to engage in curation, we want to adopt curation now?
I think like most things in the programmatic landscape, it has become an evolution where, you know, curation has come a long way. We still, when talking with partners, clients, everybody in the ecosystem, we still find ourselves doing a lot of education around it. Now, when you say, are you curating? I oftentimes will say, look, the word curation shows up in the trades almost daily, but everybody means something different in every single situation. And what we find is that the way that we Audigent drive and the approaches that we take and the technology that we deploy across our platform, we believe drives what is and will become more and more of the category called curation that is out there. And, you know, I think last I heard, this is, you know, curation is a, over the last couple of years, has become a $1 billion business, and it's one of the fastest growing categories in our space that is going to far outstrip what we've seen, you know, over the last 5 years in the next two. So there is a lot more room to grow, and there is, you know, as I said, with all things, there is more and more needs for standards, definitions, and the like around this that will further educate and drive more and more adoption, especially in the, you know, 2024 and beyond, as the landscape of a cookieless world, you know, basically becomes everywhere. So.
Yeah, I would add to that, Greg. I mean, I think that's exactly right, especially from the advertiser point of view, the need for education. I think it's true that there are many different platforms today that understand what curation is. And that's very different from 12 months ago, where there were still supply side platforms and demand side platforms that weren't really aware of what a curation workflow was. They didn't know what the technology was and how it could be delivered. And I think, as Greg said, there's also a lot of companies that exist in the space that do something that they call curation, but it isn't really a fully baked kind of end-to-end product. And that's because it's actually quite complicated to have a fully baked end-to-end product. So if we think about like a pre-curation data company, they had quite an easy time of it. They would just deploy their tags over lots of publisher pages. They would collect an absolute ton of third-party cookies, and they would say auto intenders, home and garden, hair care products, whatever they wanted to. With curation, you not only need to be able to see the user at the time of the impression, so to be able to understand something about the impression and the data behind the impression, but you also need integrations into the supply side platforms to be able to curate the deals together within the supply side platform. And then you need to inform your buyers about the deals that they should be bidding on. So you actually need quite a lot of complex kind of technical and business relationships in order to deliver a truly holistic curation workflow for people. So it is a relatively complex space, but I think what we've seen certainly over the last 6 months is lots of people dipping their toe in curation on the technical side. So different platforms, different companies offering their products via a curation partner, so perhaps via Audigent or perhaps an SSP. And I think that's a very valid way for other companies to be able to move their technology products or their data products into a curation workflow. But there really aren't that many companies that are truly connected along the whole ad tech ecosystem chain that can deliver that curation end to end.
So my question then is, what role are Audigent playing in curation? Are you, in your efforts of trying to educate, are you trying to kind of grow the category more generally around curation? Are you the category? You mentioned kind of yourselves versus maybe SSPs that are doing their own version of curation, but actually, are there many companies out there that are just purely focused on curation as a third party technology partner? And what are you trying to achieve by talking about it? Kind of what do you believe it can bring to the industry? Sorry, many questions there in one. Hope that made sense.
sure. You know, look, we believe that in growing the category, we need to be one, very vocal about what curation is and what it takes and what are the standards that need to be deployed out in market. And one of the things that we focus on is how do we grow the category, but most importantly, how do we build a mass market curation stack that can leverage data from our own first party data sources across sites, apps, mobile devices, et cetera. But also, how do we leverage third party and how do we have third party data sets and how do we help bring those in both today and in a new world? And then finally, how do we also leverage a marketer's data to bring it into our platform and to curate across that so that you as a client can effectively bring your own unique and fully instrumented supply chain in driving a full capability where all the ingredients are your own special sauce, your preferred partnerships, whatever you would like, in a way that can drive effectively your goals. If that is monetization, you're driving your monetization goals and your RPMs. If that is performance, then you're driving your ROI, CPA, cost per completed view, whatever that might be. And so we find that we need to drive that. There are a lot of point solutions that may drive, sustainability efforts. There are other point solutions that can drive attention metrics. There are a lot of components that drive into this, and we holistically believe that our job is to drive that mass market solution that will effectively grow the category.
Yeah, and again, just to kind of double down on what Greg was saying and kind of go a step into the technical side of that. Like when we started to practice curation, when we went to market with our first curated product, there was only two supply side platforms who were even thinking of applying data through the supply path. And we alpha betaed and worked with their launch product all the way through. And then since then, we've been able to work with another 11 SSPs, I think it is, to help them design their curation platform. So we've actually been at the very forefront of helping supply side platforms to take best practices from the industry. And Greg talked about standards, trying to be able to deliver a product that could work across any supply side partner. Because one of the things that we see intrinsically is that media buyers want choice. They want to be able to use their SPO agreements. They want to be able to work with the exchanges that they prefer or that they've told their advertiser they will work with. And so we've worked very hard to not just build with one partner or two partners, but to have a broad church of partnerships that allows us to offer a broad product set back to media buyers. So I think we don't see ourselves as competitive to SSPs. They are our closest partners, really. And it's in working with SSPs that we're able to deliver the media products or the curated products that media buyers want to buy.
So here's a question. Could I, if I'm a brand or an agency, whatever, could I curate myself? Could I get into creation myself without requiring the need of a third party? Are there people out there that are curating, think they're curating, and actually they're not doing anywhere near what they should be doing, and actually need the likes of Audient to come in and help them? Like, where are we at right now in terms of what curation looks like across the supply chain?
You know, I joke internally when this type of question comes up that, you know, hey, I'm a brand. Can I curate? Do you have data? Yes, absolutely. You can curate, right?
Oh, great. And so, that.
Yeah, exactly. No, but in all seriousness, you know, if you as a brand or a in general, a marketer across the board, you can and should drive curated approaches. Like the days of checking your bids, checking your frequency, checking your pacing, and checking your pricing within a console on the buy side are over. What do you now need to do if you're a trader? You need to do all of that. You need to understand brand safety. You need to understand the partner landscape. And guess what? You now need to deeply understand your entire supply chain, right? And the way that you solve that supply chain component that also has an impact on your bidding, on your pricing, on your pacing, on your frequency capping, on all of those things is curation and how you drive it and you fully instrument that supply chain and what data you are using upstream so that it comes through and it becomes seamless in how you buy, how you bid, what you're doing, what goals you're driving to becomes absolutely critical in doing that. So yes.
Great answer.
Yes, I would say it doesn't only end with brands either. There are lots of different people or lots of different entities within the ecosystem that want to be able to offer their data to advertisers. We work with some of the largest third-party data providers on the planet, credit reference agencies, giant technology firms. And while we see that the third-party cookie won't survive the end of 2024, we certainly see a future for third-party data. We believe that brands and agencies are still very much interested in buying high-quality, scalable third-party data. But in order to be able to transact on that data, you need to do it in a future-proof way. And curation provides that platform where we can work with the likes of a TransUnion or an Equifax, and we can bring their data into the market in a cookieless way, in a scaled way, and in a way that can deliver performant media products. So I think we can definitely, curation is definitely an answer for brands. It's definitely an answer for first party data owners, but it's also an answer for the third party ecosystem as well.
And so, I mean, Greg, you mentioned like if you're a brand, if you've got data, then you curate. What do you think are why isn't it being more freely adopted? Kind of what are the barriers to entry? You know, we talked about about data, and Matt, you were mentioning there as well about, you know, the demise of the third-party cookie. There's often the use of third-party data, and third-party cookie is often used incorrectly, interchangeably, and that probably causes confusion too, because we're talking about, you know, you mentioned TransUnion, Equifax there. Their third-party data is not necessarily cookie-based data. It is data, but it's still from a third party. You know, that the future of the open marketplace is currently questionable, and curation sitting on the other side of that fence is looking like a really interesting opportunity for the buy side and the sell side. So what are the blockers at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, we will oftentimes hear the words, you know, I've tried to curate and I can't get it to scale. So, right. You know, and we start asking questions, and those questions revolve around, well, tell us what technologies you're using. Tell us what processes you are employing to drive this, and tell us how you are staffed to support the effort in doing that. Right. And, you know, to really do this in the right way, you need a technology foundation that can look at, you know, as Matt mentioned, can apply data on the supply side of the ecosystem, read it in a real-time manner, meaning within milliseconds, not apply it on the demand side, and then decision on that so that you can optimize, shrink, and enlarge segments, adjust pricing of those segments, adjust how adjust what media is included in the in those packages. All of those things come into play, and that involves true, real, and robust technology that is out in market. Secondarily, you then need to, as I mentioned, you know, earlier, you need to have processes that know and understand that you need to look at the supply path and what is happening. And now in our case, we automate those and put those into our optimization. But in general, you have to have processes that can evaluate different interactions between the data set that is being used and the media object that is being used. And then finally, you need to have the people that know and understand this and can appropriately make decisions around it. We will, you know, we, for example, we have our optimization that runs, but we also have a team of supply side traders that are out in market, and they are effectively running that optimization engine around how it behaves and all those interactions and everything. And they are the ones making the decisions on what to do and what optimization levers to pull across everything that we are running. So, you know, it is absolutely critical that you have all of that. And without that, what we find is that, yes, you can absolutely go through the process of curating, but the results are going to be suboptimal from what you frankly deserve as a brand and trying to drive this stuff and how you can scale.
Yeah.
And I think it varies depending on the type of company or platform that wants to get involved with curation. I think from a brand and agency point of view, trying curation should almost be a no-brainer. It's very, very simple for you to work with a company like Audigent. Other companies are available, of course, and we can supply curated marketplaces directly into your DSP. Brands and agencies can activate against those just by targeting a deal ID, like a very, very simple change to the workflow. And in fact, perhaps one of the secret sauces with curation is that it requires so little behavior change from a brand and agency point of view that instead of just targeting the open web within the DSP, you're now targeting a specific curated deal ID.
On purpose.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So if there's any brands and agencies that are thinking of trying a curated approach in line with their existing strategies, it's super easy to work with a company like Audigent. We can create a curated product. You can put it on a line item next to your other line items. And the great thing about programmatic is performance is the king. If it doesn't work, you'll see it straight away. If it works and it performs and the price is good, you'll see that straight away as well. So I think from the buy side, like the actual brands and agencies, I think the barrier to entry is very, very low, intentionally so. And we've seen lots of different brands and agencies agree to try, dip their toe, and then come back for more of curated products because they do perform, and they perform from a price and KPI performance. I think on the opposite side, I think you have a lot of companies that sell data products in some way into the marketplace. And I think there the uplift can be quite difficult. I think increasingly you've had leaders in curation like ourselves working with other third parties to bring their data products online. Because as with everything in ad tech, the infrastructure can be quite expensive. It's quite an expensive table to get to if you're a platform. You have to invest a lot of money in infrastructure and staff, as Greg said. But then once you have that, once you have your seat at the table, there's no reason why you can't share your seat with other companies. And we've worked, I mean, I called out some third-party data companies that we already work with, like credit reference agencies, but we also work with very large technology companies like IBM, the weather company, for example. And we bring their data into curated marketplaces so that they don't have to own the infrastructure. And I think we'll see that increase in the next 12 months, where companies that offer data-rich products to media buyers will partner with either directly with an SSP or with a curation partner like ourselves that works across multiple SSPs to bring those data products into market to make them easier for buyers to activate.
Interesting. And so you mentioned kind of, you know, if you're a brand or agency, it, you know, it sounds like it's as simple as flicking a switch, really. It's actually very, very easy to implement, very easy to activate, and should be a no-brainer, because there are more reasons why you should than shouldn't do it, basically, for curation. What about the challenges? It sounds like it's a bit more complicated if you're kind of if you're a data company or a publisher. What are the barriers there, but also what are the reasons why you should be taking this seriously? And going back to a point you made earlier, Greg, about the questions that you ask somebody who says they tried to curate and it wasn't really working, like, and you mentioned resource. Are there things like, actually, this is quite a big step change for you as a company, you will need to staff up, tool up, get the right skills in place to be able to make this work? What are the kind of the blockers there?
I think it does go back to, you know, what is the technology? What are the processes, and what is the staffing required? You know, for so long, the programmatic landscape has been focused around plug your data in, put it on a shelf, merchandise it, and then it's going to be bought. And then your job as a data partner is to go manage two streams up, two levels up, the customer base, meaning the marketers, the brands and agencies, and put together large deals that encourage activity in these markets, essentially. And that was a very passive way to drive this. Well, now we are literally at a inflection point where that world has to change no matter what we do. Literally, it has to change no matter what we do. And that means that people need to rethink the ways that they were monetizing their data sets from old way into new way. And the curation aspect of this, as we've alluded to in some of the other discussions around this, like, the curation aspect of this drives that approach. The challenge that everybody faces, that all data partners face in this world, is now where you once were an expert in your data sets and exactly how they applied to various verticals and how they applied to different industries and all of those things. Now you also need to understand the media landscape, right? And so where you once were talking about a $3 CPM for a certain segment, now you've got to talk about a $12 media package that includes online video and your data segment included. And what does that mean? And what does that world look like? Right. And so it becomes a challenge from that perspective. And that means retooling. And that means rethinking, you know, who you hire, how you hire, what you train, what you do. It also means rethinking your processes and how you price and package and how you sell. And ultimately, that leads to changes in technology and, you know, what and how you need and should operate.
Absolutely. I think that I'm interested in both of your thoughts on kind of what the next 12 months holds for curation for you, because, you know, curation has existed for many years in various forms, you know, like the PMP. What sort of step changes are you expecting to see over the next 12 months that will really make it evolve from what it's been, the curation of old, to actually people kind of understanding how it can really benefit the way that they run media?
Yeah, so I'll talk about that just from the technology standpoint, first of all, and I'll jump in and do that because obviously there's some quite big technology changes happening in 2024.
So. Just a couple, minor couple, things.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. We talked right at the beginning of the conversation about how the changes in data privacy regulations and the deprecation of third-party cookie and what technology companies are doing, browser companies are doing, once the cookie has gone away, specifically around Google's privacy sandbox. And I think curation can provide a really good answer for the open internet to lots of these problems. And so why can it provide that answer? Well, firstly, it doesn't need to rely on third-party cookies. So that's one of the big headaches that's taken out of the equation. The data can be applied at the point of impression when you know you have consent from the user. So that ticks a big privacy box as well. And I think as the curation market continues to grow in 2024, we will see more media buyers spending more dollars on curated products because they will keep the efficacy and the performance that media buyers need to deliver back to their brands. Media buyers can't, or agencies can't, go back to their brands and tell them that they couldn't deliver on the budget, they can't deliver on the KPIs. They need to be able to carry on having that constructive conversation with their brands. And because curation is future-proof, it offers that continuity. And I think we've seen over the course of this year, lots of agencies work with us to test out these strategies, knowing that they will be future-proof so that they can be included on more and more and more plans as we go forward. I think on a kind of pure technology level, I think almost all of the major SSPs, advertising exchanges or supply side platforms, now support some concept of curation. So that's kind of every major supply side platform in the world, with the notable exception of our friends at Google at the moment, have already invested money in building a curation platform within their supply side platform. So it's not going to go away. These companies have invested millions of dollars in this. We have companies at the forefront of curation like Audigent, who have invested millions in the technology and the optimization and the company, as Greg said. And we have agencies and buyers who are increasingly looking for opportunities to protect their revenue lines and the business that they do moving forward. So I think overall, the picture is incredibly rosy for curation. I think we see the business growing well above the $1 billion that it's currently capped at, or currently has a cap on.
Wow. Greg, anything to add on what you expect to see out of curation for the next 12 months?
Well, I think one, you are going to see a lot more sophistication around this concept of making activation easy at the point of impression with, you know, a consented user base. Right. And that, and while today we define that in the form of, a media and data package that is applied on the supply side and then sent through, I think we're going to see that world evolve and morph into a lot of different, components that could be changed, significantly as a result of, you know, everything that Chrome is enforcing around the privacy sandbox and protected audiences and those things. You're going to see, a lot more around modeled audiences, or as we call them, cognitive audiences that are built out. And utilize, around prediction, so that you can utilize small deterministic seeds and then project up so that you really can drive more and more scale. And then I think you're going to see this operate differently in the form of, because the landscape with Chrome especially is forcing it, but it's almost like we are yet again going to rebuild and bring stuff back to where it needs to be in a better way. I look at our different topic, different day, but I look at the last decade of ad tech and what have we done. We've had, you know, legislative changes, regulatory changes, and we've rebuilt in better ways and better ways and better ways. And so, you know, there is a lot, I think, coming in terms of innovation. And I think it's all going to revolve around how do you drive that combination of media and data at that point of activation in a unique way. So
absolutely. It's a really interesting point. And I want to finish up with, I'm going to put you both on the spot. I want to, you know, for all of our listeners that are all over the world that could sit across the entire supply chain across advertising, what's the one thing that you want to get across about curation, that you want to communicate with this audience about curation and what you feel its importance is in the broader ecosystem? Who wants to go first? Matt's going first. Brilliant.
I can definitely start. I'm going to say two things because I think it is slightly different for both sides. I go back and reiterate what I said for people on the buy side of the equation. So for our agency and brand and media trading partners, it really is very easy to try curation, intentionally so. There's no change to the pipes from the DSP side. There's no difference in the way a media buyer activates a curated marketplace or a curated deal. And that makes it very easy to try. So for agencies that are considering curation or want to find out more about curation or are interested in exploring if it really is a solution for protecting their media buying activities as they go forward, I would say pick up the phone or send an email. It really is a very, very simple process for an agency to try out a curated package. Obviously, I hope they pick up our phone or our email, but they could also go elsewhere. And then for technology partners and for technology platforms, I think the key aspect of curation in 2024 is going to be working with companies that have connections deep into the ecosystem. So finding companies that are truly connected to the way the ecosystem works, right from the point of impression all the way through to the media buyer. Because the way that data regulations are changing and the way that the infrastructure is changing, it's very difficult for companies to just operate in silos just above the publisher or just above the DSP. You really need partners that are deeply connected across the whole ad tech ecosystem, because it's only in that way that you can not only deliver the product, but also crucially optimize those products while they're in market so that they can drive towards the goals of the campaign. So those would be my two takeaways.
Brilliant. Love that. Greg, what's the big thing you want to communicate?
I want to double down on what Matt said around, you know, do you need technology? Yes, it significantly helps. Is it designed so that it is meant to meet you exactly where you are today and help you move and evolve your business going forward? And that is why it is built into the workflow so that it is, you know, easily accessible, as simple as a deal ID, right? Now, the downstream or upstream, depending on how you look at it, impact of that might, you know, involve deep, you know, data connections in real time that are operating and optimized again in real time, you know, all of those things. But it is, you know, it is truly this effort, this drive, this category is built around the concept of making it easy for the marketer to deploy, to activate, and to drive results.
I mean, yeah, that hit a nail on the head. It really feels like, from a curation perspective, why wouldn't you be doing it? It's, yeah. You know, there's a lot of challenges in 2024, including third-party cookie deprecation. There's constant challenges around data privacy and transparency, and of course, the challenge around sustainability and reducing carbon emissions. And it feels like curation, it could be a solution, or at least help to address some of those challenges. Certainly, you know, beyond where maybe SPO in the open marketplace isn't able to, it actually will help us reduce carbon emissions, clean up the supply chain, and help us be able to understand that data isn't going away. It's just how you address how you can legitimately use data. So it's still regulated. It's still safe. It's still private. And you're kind of putting the person at the end of the ad first.
That's right.
I think that's exactly right.
And for great examples, look at the hub, because there's a lot of writing on that.
You are not wrong, Greg. head straight to Exchange Wire and look at the hub. There's some really good content, and including a Mad Tech sketch, which maps it all out perfectly if you're still not quite sure what curation looks like. We're out of time, but I want to say thank you so much to Matt and Greg for joining me today. Hopefully our listeners kind of feel a lot of a closer connection to curation now and understand it, and they'll pick up the phone to Audigent in particular, and to find out more about how they can get started. Thank you so much for joining me, Matt and Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening.